Able to introduce to you and to welcome Archbishop Ben Kwashi, who is the Archbishop of the Diocese of Jos in Nigeria. He's here with us for our synod, and we're very pleased that he'll be able to share in ministry and bring God's word to us today.
Bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for this day. We celebrate the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to you, O God, because by the help of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the Counselor, we will today receive from you that gift which is yours to us. And we ask that you will answer our prayer so that we will be revived, refreshed, formed to become the kind of people you want us to be a blessing in the world. And we ask you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit. When I was younger and had not given my life to Jesus Christ, one of the things I didn't want was I did not want the Holy Spirit. And I was very clear because my understanding was that the Holy Spirit was going to turn you into something else. And I wanted to be sane. And in my opinion, I was okay the way I was. And I didn't want the Holy Spirit changing me into something else. Because those I saw, Christians, expressed themselves in ways that I didn't like. And so I thought they were wrong and I was right. But then I became a Christian. In God's grace, I give my life to Jesus, and the man who led me to faith also prayed the Holy Spirit on me. Then I realized that I was wrong then, and at the time I thought I was sane, I discovered that I wasn't. I was only hiding some things inside of me and didn't want the Holy Spirit to bring them out. But when I received Jesus, I removed those things and I received the Holy Spirit that made me normal. So the Holy Spirit, God gives so that we will be the people He wants us to be. Without the Holy Spirit, we will never be the kind of people God wants us to be. It's not possible. And the confusion for the disciples was that they have understood up to now, and bear in mind that they were Jews. They have understood that the Holy Spirit comes from time to time on a few people, the prophets especially, and occasionally on other people, so that people will now express themselves in ways that God wanted them to, either to prophesy or in worship. And sometimes we are caught up in the mold of thinking we've made up our minds about what the Holy Spirit should look like. The disciples were like that. And Jesus says to them, I am going to go away, and now the Holy Spirit is going to come, not on a few people, but on all flesh throughout the world. Regardless of gender or race or class, young and old, rich and poor, black or white, everybody. The disciples had never seen something like that before. So they were wondering, how would this be? But Jesus goes on further to tell them what the Holy Spirit will come and do. And if you look at John's gospel, you will see three things at least. The first one, verse 8. Jesus says in verse 8, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. So the Holy Spirit is going to come and expose sin. That will be the first job of the Holy Spirit. But the second one is verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit enthrones truth, establishes truth. And every time you speak the truth, the Holy Spirit confirms it. Not our truth, but God's truth. And the third thing is that the Holy Spirit will glorify me, says Jesus. Verse 14, He will glorify me. And this is pretty important there too, because many times in life when we do things, we want to be acknowledged. But here Jesus is saying that when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will not even want to be acknowledged. You will want God to be acknowledged. You will want to glorify God. All glory should go to Him. Psalm 115 says, not to me, O Lord, not to me, not to us, but to you, O God, belongs all the glory. So we seek nothing when the Holy Spirit is in us. We seek nothing for ourselves, not even our recognition. We want God to be glorified. And often I have said to, especially my wife, that when you see me do something that's wonderful, it must be God. Because normally on my own, without the Holy Spirit, I cannot do what is right. I will just be Ben, the real Ben that you know. So the Holy Spirit works in us to glorify God, to stand on truth, God's truth, and to expose sin and throw it away because we don't need it. Sin is not helpful, it's not useful, it's not useful to you, it's not useful to God, it's not useful to anybody. It's only useful to Satan. So Jesus will give the Holy Spirit that will expose sin and deal with it. Now, this promise of Jesus was fulfilled in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Here are the apostles now. Jesus has gone 50 days down the road. And the Holy Spirit comes on the day of Pentecost. Now, let's look at the event very quickly from verse 1 to 4 of chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, frightened people, all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared on them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The promise was fulfilled. And on this day, because Jesus had told them to go and wait, they were all waiting and praying. And of course, frightened because their master had been killed. And anyone following Jesus stood the risk of being ostracized, persecuted, or even killed. In that room, suddenly, a rushing wind came upon them. I don't know how your winds blow here, but back at home, I remember one particular night, in our rain and in the thunderstorms, the winds also come, and sometimes the winds are so strong that they uproot a whole tree and throw it down. And one of the fears that we have is sometimes some of these winds can blow off the roof of a house. My little son was at that time 3 years old. And he came running to our bedroom. He says, Daddy, Daddy, the wind is talking. I shook my head. The wind is what? He said, the wind is talking. I say, how is the wind talking? He says, Daddy, it is talking. Wee, wee, wee. And then I realized he was talking about the rushing wind. It frightened him. This was the experience of the apostles in that room. So they were wondering, is the roof going to blow off? Is it going to blow off? No, it's not about blowing off the roof. It's blowing off their pride. It's blowing off all they had always held on to and known before. It's blowing off all their traditions. All the things they've held on to as Jews. It's blowing it all away. And while they were even thinking about blowing it away, suddenly fire came upon them. And the fire burns. I saw recently on television the volcano in Fiji. And I was so scared. The fire burned, melting. And fire comes upon each one of their heads, burning all the chaff, all the thoughts that they've always had, burning them because you don't need them. You don't need those thoughts of anger, of bitterness, of jealousy, of hatred, of prejudice. You don't need those things that in secret you know you're not happy about, but you can't help yourself about. Pornography. You don't need those sexual immorality. You don't need that. You don't need those anger, those bitterness. You don't need it. And the Holy Spirit comes that you might expose it and He will burn it and throw it off. You open your hearts. No amount of vestments I put on that will cover all that and be helpful to me. The only way is to open it all up. And the Lord said that He will send the Holy Spirit to convict. And when you are convicted, you know you are wrong. And you repent and confess it. And the Holy Spirit burns it. It's chaff. It's not useful. Then the Holy Spirit comes. Your pride and arrogance has been knocked off by the wind. The sin is burnt away. The Holy Spirit comes in and calms your hearts and gives you utterance, speech. When I gave my life to Christ and I came back home, I was able to tell my mother. I could now speak things she never knew about me. I told her. I repented. The Holy Spirit enables us to own up and to speak. And here it says, in tongues as He gave utterance. So now the Holy Spirit enables us to speak. But from verse 5 to 13, the Holy Spirit communicates. We see that the disciples now suddenly became confident because the Holy Spirit has come. They had nothing more to fear, no more anger, no more bitterness. All has been burnt away. All their pride has been blown off. They come out publicly and communicated to the bewildered crowd. They spoke, and each one of the peoples of the world who was there heard in their own language, declaring the wonders of God. There was communication. The Holy Spirit enables us to communicate to people. And the apostles were able to communicate the love of God. How God, in His infinite wisdom, sent Jesus to die on the cross and to be raised on the third day so that nobody should evermore be condemned. No one is condemned. No one. We have a right to choose life. God does not condemn anybody. Those who reject Jesus Christ choose to reject Him. They condemn themselves, but not God. God wants everyone saved. God wants each person to get his pride blown off, his sins burnt, and he comes to salvation to receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter was explaining all of this. He was communicating to them, and they were hearing the wonders of God. But verse 14 to 21, we see in particular verse 21, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter now explains the truth of God's word. Because Jesus had said the Holy Spirit will come and establish the truth. The truth is in the word of God, brothers and sisters. When you take the scriptures and you read the scriptures, yes, you may not understand it at the beginning, but if you take the time to study the scriptures and see how honest God has dealt with men and women through history, you will find yourself in the word of God also, how God deals with you. And you will know the truth of God in saving humanity. God's word is the truth. Because God had promised long ago through Joel, prophet Joel, that the Holy Spirit is going to come, and God has kept his promise. The Holy Spirit now has come. So all people throughout the world who open their hearts to the Lord, who confess their sins, who repent and say, Lord, help me, the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to help such people. Men, women, children, all experience the power of the Holy Spirit in transforming lives. That is the truth of God's word. That is also the truth, because we see that God has promised, Jesus has promised, that in his word he will guide, the Holy Spirit will guide. In God's word, we see the Lord guiding his children through the ages. For your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You never will walk in darkness if you walk in God's word. You never will. The Holy Spirit convicts us all the time to our salvation. When you turn your life to Jesus Christ, you have a strong conviction. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know how people survive without the Holy Spirit. I just don't. Because it's no use for you to have a car, no matter how expensive and beautiful, and there is no petrol in it. It won't go anywhere. The effectiveness of a Christian depends on the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in the life of a believer. The Holy Spirit God has given so that he can unpack us, remove from inside of us the conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will tell you what things you don't need inside. Inside of you, remove hatred, remove envy, remove. He will help you. And he will unpack all of that, and you will suddenly feel lightweight, ready to run. But he will also repackage you and make you presentable to God for use. And when you have been repackaged, your life will be full of joy, of peace. And such peace and joy that Peter says is joy unspeakable. And when the disciples were expressing their joy, people said, no, these guys are drunk. No, they're not drunk. It's too early to be drunk. It's not drunkenness. It's just that they've been unpacked. And the Holy Spirit comes in and fills them with such joy. They're praising their hands and praising the Lord. Very un-Anglican, isn't it? They were just joyful, just released. He said they're drunk. When the Holy Spirit unpacks you, removes all those things, excess luggage that you don't need, there's so much peace and joy in your life that people will wonder, are you drunk? You're not drunk. how anyone will leave this church without asking for the Lord to give him the Holy Spirit. That will be a huge loss because it's free. The Lord wants to give the Holy Spirit for your blessing and mine. It's free. We're not buying it. We can't buy him. He wants to bless us today and now. And I invite you to join me as we ask for his help, that we may receive his Spirit. Let us pray. In this moment of quiet, let us be open to God. Let the Lord remove any of those things that will hinder us. Let the wind blow it all off. Begin now to unpack from your heart those things that are not necessary. You don't need them. The anger, the jealousy, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the hatred, the pain. Just say, Holy Spirit, burn them all out. I don't need them. And in the freedom of your heart now, ask the Holy Spirit to come. To release inside of you that peace, that joy. God, our Father, we pray that you will fulfill your promise now in this church on your people. So that living this house of worship, we'll live rejoicing, knowing that we have not only met with you, but that you have met with us. Lord, confirm your word in each life here present as we open up to you and we ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.